All right, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist official podcast of the United Church of Bacon, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' websites, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes on our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or... oh, just forget it.
Oh, what's wrong?
Well, I'm just tired of being such a meanie.
Finally. I'm glad you're changing your old ways.
Changing? I'm not changing. I'm just tired now. I'll feel back to my old self later.
But I thought you were...
You thought? That's your problem. You think too much when you should be listening.
Okay, this is abuse.
I guess I'm feeling better already. We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, Donald Trump. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Henry Phillips, Ross Blotcher, and Darren Butters. You know these guys from Showbiz.
Showbiz.
Hey.
Can we follow that? That was flawless.
And
that
good night.
That was really smooth.
That's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks We've for never being done here. That joke before.
Yeah, 50,000 times I've done that goddamn joke. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All of you. Congratulations. All of you.
Congratulations on your 50,000th episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Good. Can you imagine?
Is that really good?
Can you imagine 50,000 episodes? That would be bizarre.
We'd be 80.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be like 105.
God damn!
I have
this beats. This is a heart that
it won't
feel
when you're 105.
No, not anymore. So yeah, this is. I'm really excited. Henry Phillips is back on the show.
Hey guys!
Last time Henry was on the show, do you remember when? What Wendy? What's her name?
What was her name? Let me
go. Now we
got to
go look it up.
Got to Google it.
Yeah,
I remember. I didn't get a lot of talking.
No, no, no. The lady from really heavily tattooed black lady from
Mad TV.
That's exactly right. And she was a handful.
Well, people should go back and listen to it because it's pretty entertaining. Todd Glass. Was
yes,
he was on the show.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think I got as far as plugging. My CD at the time.
Right.
That's about my contribution to the whole thing.
Is that it?
But today I want to do a whole bunch more.
Oh, all good. Right.
Yeah.
Did you find her name?
I want to plug my YouTube
series. I'm working
series.
On it.
Yeah.
I'm just
do it. Dude, I want to plug your YouTube series. What's the name of the cooking show?
Henry's Kitchen.
Unbelievable, yeah. That thing.
Thanks.
Unbelievable. Have you seen it,
Darren? Is it a real cooking
show? It's a real show. Is it a real cooking show? The answer is yes.
I am cooking.
Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Deborah Wilson.
Yeah, Deborah Wilson.
It took me long enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Deborah Wilson.
Yeah,
is
that's
this high concept comedy. This...
Yeah, I mean, the Henry's Kitchen is basically, I guess it came from me just watching people cook on YouTube, and there's this epidemic of middle-aged men that for some reason get to a point in their life where they're like, I have to teach people some shit, and I remember every time I wanted to cook something, I would go on YouTube and I would just start laughing. I'd be like, what the hell is this guy's story? And so I started doing my own, and it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, I do them every month now.
That's great.
It's really good.
I'm going to do a big Halloween thing coming up.
What are you going to cook?
Well,
do you know?
I did scary pancakes a couple of years ago, and this time I'm thinking I'm going to do some kind of a... maybe a pumpkin pie type thing.
Scary Pancakes
like
is a great band name.
Yeah.
It is. Scary right? Pancakes. How were the pancakes scary?
Well, it, that was kind of from, I remember, this is a funny little Doug Stanhope tidbit. I remember years ago we went to a hungover breakfast at IHOP in Hollywood, and they had this big... ad for the Booberry Scary Pancakes or whatever, but it's like that was their theme or whatever. And when the waitress gave him his blueberry scary pancakes, he just did this. And everybody's like, "What? What? What happened?" It's like, "Oh, it's scary." And so, so I was trying to recreate some of that humor with my scary pancakes.
Right. Here's a taste.
Happy Halloween. Today we're going to be making Henry's scary pumpkin pancakes.
I love how he just stands there; his arms aren't moving.
You better watch out.
His timing is completely off.
Pretty scary.
There's behind him. There's a blow a little blown up balloon of a of a jack o' lantern, and
cheap,
that's it.
Yeah,
just nothing.
From Vons.
I love the editing. The editing is very very Tim and Eric. You know, you're completely making fun of the old style of shitty.
Thanks, man. Well, you know how I did it is I don't know how to edit. Or at least, you know, I've been trying to learn.
You're doing a great job.
The more amateur,
the more amateur for this, the better.
Yeah, because I'm basically making fun of people that don't know how to edit either. So,
right.
Yeah.
Go check it out, Henry's Kitchen. That's episode 14. How to make scary pumpkin pancakes. Really funny. Really funny. So you can plug anything you want on the show.
And
in fact, we can do a whole show of you just plugging everything.
I mean, you at least should get to talk more than you did last time.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's funny when you said showbiz, because I guess I am in showbiz.
You don't think of that?
No, I mean, I am.
You
never,
stand
I never,
on a stage with lights.
Like, I know. I just never felt like I was... I mean, you know, here I am doing my YouTube thing. I mean, and this is the new showbiz, though. We do our own stuff. But, like, the last time I was in this area, I did... This is probably... God, right about, like, 97 or 98, there used to be a buddy of mine who bartended at the Starlight Lounge right there. Is that it?
Yep.
The bar right there?
Yep.
And they were doing music and comedy for a little while. And I remember performing there. And I don't know, it's just funny to use the word show business. Doing comedy at the Starlight Lounge. But yeah, I guess, you know, in a certain way.
Well, that
way
wasn't the last show you did. It sounds like you're saying that's the last comedy show you did. That's not true.
No. Yeah, but that was the last time I was in within these couple of blocks here.
Right.
But I stopped going to the Valley.
You know, being in showbiz, it's not limited to a particular area.
No, I mean, no, of course.
You get that.
I guess showbiz to me always sounds like, you know, Dean Martin or whatever. You know?
That's what we are. Do you not get that?
I know.
That's what you are.
I guess so.
Stanhope and you and
yeah.
That's it. Just Stanhope and you. That's it. There's no one else.
But, yeah. Hey,
yeah, we're in show
give
business,
up
man.
Show business. I know, I love it.
Give up show business. Nice. Everyone know that joke? Everyone, he just... You know what you just did is you did what you just did is the old prison joke, you know, 473, 819, everyone laughing, and then 397, silence. What the hell? Yeah, Bob could never tell a joke.
Oh man.
You know that joke? That's an old prison joke.
No.
Yeah.
I've heard several variations, but as with most great jokes, but
And Give Up Showbiz is the one. I'm not going to do the joke. I'm just going to tell people to go look up the joke.
Mm-hmm.
The punchline is and Give Up Showbiz.
Mm-hmm.
The setup is elephant. Just go elephant and Give Up Showbiz. Go read that joke. It's one of the better jokes on the planet.
It's great.
I'm going to have to Facebook that joke.
We're
tomorrow.
Making everyone laugh right now.
What?
Everyone listening is just cracking their shit up right now.
Your sarcasm is funny.
Or are you saying because we're saying to Google the joke?
Yeah.
That would be a great stand-up comic bit.
Just
like, hey, just Google this one. This
right?
Is great.
This one.
Get your phones out.
No punchlines. Just look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up for yourself. Here's
you guys got your smartphones. You know how to do
I'll
it.
I'll wait. Yeah. There's a sketch.
And always give them the punch. Always give them the punchline.
Yeah.
That's the, right?
That's
oh, shit, I smoked
future.
My dick. Go look that up. And you will laugh your ass off. It's so great.
And there's this little delay, and then everybody laughs. Like, yeah.
They got it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
They got it.
All right, who's going to do this first?
He's got a slow connection somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's on an iPhone 4. Wait for him, fucking moron.
Someone's on a flip phone. He will never get it.
Yeah.
It's the future of stand-up. That's what we're going to be doing.
Is that it? Is that where we're headed?
I think so. Well, you know, have you guys noticed, for a little while, there was this huge backlash, and I guess I'm still part of this generation that hates cell phones in the audience.
Yeah, I'm not with you. I'm not with you. And I come from that generation,
too. Yeah, well, and, you know, and I know I'm not alone. I went to Louis's show at the Forum about a month ago, and everybody had to, like, we received, like, this little printout that said, put your cell phone away. If we see you with it, we're going to kick you out and all this other stuff. He just does not want people doing that.
Right.
And I get that.
Do you know why?
Well, for me personally, it's like I just maybe I'm a little insecure about what I might be doing at that moment, and I don't want that material to be seen in that circumstance.
I think that's why Louis does it too, right?
Yeah. And then, but this, it's changing because now there's a whole generation of people that smartphones are just part of our world, and it's sort of like, hey, you know, then don't do it.
Well, dude, I'm going to tell you something.
What were you going to say about the, you know, why?
Here's where we're going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we're going is one day you'll be doing a concert somewhere, and everybody in the audience, or many people, most of the people even, will be watching you, and this is where I disagree with Stanhope. Mm-hmm. We're capable, we're multitasking animals. I can hold a phone up, and I can enjoy your show equally as well as not holding that phone up and just paying attention without it. So there will be people holding their phones up. Those will be streaming into a database that will then create your entire show as a concert available for the masses, and you will become an instant superstar overnight. And that is going to happen. Who's the guy that used the internet to become huge, whose name I can't think of? The next Dane Cook is going that route. That's how it's going to happen. It's going to be a crowdsourced concert.
Mm.
I've been wanting to do that with Stanhope, actually, but I know he would never do it. I've been wanting to give the audience, or ask the audience, to all bring their devices, tape his show, then send me the footage. We edit together the entire show from their perspective. And we put a couple of our own guys that know how to hold still, you know what I mean? Center, right, and left, and get really good, guaranteed good footage. And actually do a whole show taped from the audience. He won't ever do that, I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get rid of, like, you know, I mean, those convictions that you have about live performance and, you know. But we've all had to change everything. You know, that's this whole YouTube thing. I mean, that's 30% of the people that come to my shows. So three people show up, and they're there because of my YouTube series.
Right.
A lot of times they're like, I don't even know. They'll talk to me afterward and be like, I didn't even know what you were going to do. I thought you were going to cook or what the hell. But,
and then really?
And then like, oh, I get it. You're a stand-up comedian. Okay, yeah. But like, yeah, people will just get forwarded this thing. And on the underneath, I always say, hey, I'll be in Chicago at the whatever. And then people show up. But It's a new thing, and
how many people are like, God damn it, I was so hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
I was waiting for samples.
Yeah, no. But yeah, old dogs need to learn new tricks, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, I just don't share I'm the opposite when it comes to this sort of thing. I'm like, what is new? And I want to sink my teeth into
it. Well, you're a technical guy, right?
I am, I guess, you know. I mean, listen, I'll tell you what mostly drives this is a general philosophy of not wanting to age.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had it. I've had it since I was a kid. I was like, I watch grandparents and older people talk about the hell in a handbasket thing. And when I was in my teens, I developed the philosophy that that's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Hell in a handbasket's never accurate. It's never true. It's always bullshit. And then that was an idea I developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I grew older and started looking at things, I was able to confirm that bias and find that it's absolutely true. Where life is generally getting better for people, and the whole hell in a handbasket thinking.
Yeah, I want to be part of that too.
Yeah,
just a little friction every now and then.
Yeah,
especially when you're an insecure performer like I always have been anyway. It's a little hard knowing that. Like, I even had a show, like, a couple weeks ago in L.A., which is where all of my worst shows in all of my history have happened.
It's a tough town to do comedy.
It's so weird. Yeah, I'll be like, I'll go to, like, Lake Jackson, Texas, and my friends will be like, oh, boy, here we go. It's going to be, you know, this is going to be some deliverance type stuff or whatever. And it winds up being a great show. Everybody has a good time. And then I'll do a show right here in L.A., and it's just the most humiliating experience.
Well,
but then when I see somebody with a camera, I'm like, oh, great. So not only does it suck, but we're also documenting this for the ages, too.
But it doesn't suck. That's the thing about you. I got to tell you. I mean, you. First of all, the reactions that you get out of a generally entertainment crowd, because that's who we're playing to here in
that's
LA,
right. That's right.
The reactions you get are not dissimilar from the reactions that we get in the green room from other comics when we talk about stuff.
Yeah.
You'll say to a guy, I got this new bit and I'm working it out and I got this thing and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to say that. And you might even perform the bit in the green room and they don't like grab their gut and laugh and slap their knee. Generally, they're like, that's nice. That's nice. That's good. Here's another idea. That's you're playing to the, you're in a green room when you're in LA generally, in my opinion. And so
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, comics comics who come and watch you never feel like you're having a bad set, in my opinion.
That's cool.
Certainly not. You're comparing the road. I learned a long time ago as a road comic. I'll get to Darren right after I diatribe like Wendy did.
There's got to be some celestial talk in there somewhere.
I figured it out. When I came to L.A. and then I went over to Pasadena's Ice House, I'm like, that's a road room. So, and have you done the Ice House?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you know the difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
when you come into Hollywood and you do a show, when you go over there, they really are a road
That's true.
Crowd. Darren?
Where I thought you were going with that, being an insecure performer, I thought it was less about people documenting it than not having a captive audience with their full attention.
That's Stan Hope's complaint.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and I will tear that to shreds as soon as we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it right now. We're just going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in moobs. ROAD.com/Emery Emery and buy the damn thing.
A man comes home from work to find his girlfriend crying and packing. When he asks her what's wrong, through sobs, she explains that she's leaving him because she just found out he's a pedophile. Pedophile? That's an awful big word for a 12-year-old.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Henry Phillips Ross Blotcher and Darren Butters. Thanks for being here, guys.
Hey.
So, yeah, that's Stan Hope's complaint, the idea that they're not paying attention. And I think it comes from, first of all, I find it amazing, actually, because one of Stan Hope's big complaints, as was with Carlin and others that I put on the same shelf, you know, just the idea of controlling people is abhorrent, you know, and he wants to control them in that way, and that is bizarre to me. I don't know why he can't see that isn't reasonable. because he would argue that no one should be controlling us. We should be able to do whatever the fuck we want to do. And he's a libertarian too. You'd think he would be. He would understand that, and he doesn't.
But isn't there attending this performance complying to that control?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can, again, in the libertarian mindset, you can say on your ticket, you know, we will take your fucking phone away. And I'm okay with that, as would any libertarian. And that's okay, I suppose. But again, you're still controlling them, and I'm not a fan of any of that kind of control.
Monday Night Tees, the burlesque show I perform in on occasion, they ask you not to film or take any pictures during the show because some of these girls have day jobs and don't want their naked bodies plastered all over the internet unless without their control.
So yeah, but let me just say, Stanhope has no fucking day job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even talking about the camera part of it. I'm talking about looking down and checking your email while this person is setting up a joke and trying to convey this story to you or whatever performance it might be.
Well, when that was happening for me as a road comic, it started out with pagers. Boy, do I date myself now. And eventually it was the phones. And if they're interrupting the show, then they're fair game for counter heckling.
Like answering a phone call. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'll eat the shit out of someone for that. And frankly, it's just a lovely part of my show when that happens. I'm usually not bothered by that. The only ones that really bother me are the people who are so drunk that you can't have any interaction. Yeah. You have to have them removed. But yeah,
I hate it when people used to have the landlines. You know, you'd hear that dialing noise. Oh, it's the worst.
I was doing a hell gig once where one of those little rooms, a bar, is you could spit and hit the bar where from the stage.
Yeah.
The dartboard is lit better than the stage. And I'm standing there. I think it was over my right shoulder. The phone at the bar rings really loudly, just like horribly. And I just walked back and grabbed the phone.
Oh, nice.
That show became prank calls. I just was calling people in that town, asking for phone numbers of friends and dialing up. I ordered pizza. That arrived before the show was over. That's really great fun.
Yeah, you can put the mic up to the speaker.
That's what I did. Yeah. And it was a landline, which is what fired that synapse for me to remember.
Right. Yeah.
But
I think Doug also talked about how it's grainy and shitty quality, and it goes right on YouTube. And,
not anymore.
And he's got such a if he was holding
the
iPhone
7
now, I mean, it looks good.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't know. Well, didn't Patton Oswalt had a huge issue with that? The same thing. He had a whole back and forth with a girl in the audience about taping the thing. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
Has he spoken about how irritated he is by it, or was it just a thing?
Well,
at
the time he did, but I don't know. Maybe.
I didn't
he seems like
one.
A guy who eventually sort of put a lot of thought into it.
He's a grumpy cunt. You know. He's got a lot of opinions that are usually pretty sound or thought out.
But, just like religion, you know, a few generations will have to die out, and then that problem won't exist anymore. No one will give a shit.
I think that's what I'm saying is that we're all adapting, and older guys, with the exception of Emery, are having to live in this world. And I was always fascinated by like younger people, like. When they show up to parties, like there's that little overlap where all of a sudden there's cameras and then there's a guy who, you know, puts a carrot in his ass and makes a huge fool out of himself and it gets on video and it ruins his life or whatever. In the future, is it going to be, let's just not put a carrot in our ass, or is it going to be, let's do it and just know everybody's going to see be fine with it?
I'm with the latter. I think it's going to be, it doesn't
let's
matter
not
what
change
you've
our
done.
Behavior. Let's just say, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Remember when I was 15 and I did that thing? You want to see the video? You can.
Yeah, exactly.
And 15 other people that did it on the same.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think
then
if
you're going
to
be
if you know that
to
everybody does it, then it's fine.
Which
you know?
Is actually the case. It's just, the guy that got recorded.
The Star Wars kid, he's the one who got institutionalized after being so embarrassed.
That didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
That
no, remember that?
I remember the guy with the, fellow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think he was, he went to a little bit of a mental asylum for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was very sweet. Eventually, like George Lucas, I think, put him in one of the Star Wars movies, you know, because he felt bad about it. Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
It was beautiful.
It's probably one of the bad ones.
Yeah. Now everybody's making
and
fun of him
man
for that.
Is Darth Maul.
Yeah. Now they're ridiculing him for being in that movie. Yeah.
Roger that. And he's back in the same asylum.
Yeah, he's like,
fuck, thank you,
I
Lucas.
I can't fucking
you
win.
Son of a bitch. God damn it.
Ruined my life.
What are you doing on the old religion front, Ross?
Yeah, oh man. Well, recently I've been spending a lot of time with the Scientologists. Did a long series for Oh No, Ross and Carrie. That's my show. I will plug it here.
Yeah.
And yeah, went in and I kind of fooled Carrie into doing it. Carrie is my co-host of this show in our investigations, and we'd been holding off on Scientology for a long time because they're scary, right?
Once you get in it.
They go after people,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, well, we have to have a game plan. But that was always the number one request. Everyone kept coming to us, when are you going to do Scientology? When are you, or, you know, talk to people about the show. That's great. Have you done Scientology? No? Not interested. So I fooled her because we were doing an episode on personality tests. And I said, well, hey, just as like a fun add-on, why don't we just like stop in and do the Scientology personality test?
Right.
See how that goes.
No, mm-hmm. I see.
Let's grab an e-meter
but
and see what happens.
But did they have hot drinks?
They promised more than they delivered. So sometimes, yeah. Sometimes yes, but sometimes they were tepid hot drinks or they were missing. Yeah, that is the true measure of a cult. But we came for the personality test and we stayed for the Dianetics and all the other stuff. And so essentially we got there and we went
through
that.
Come for the personality test, stay for the brainwashing.
They give you this insanely hard sell. It's a timeshare presentation,
yeah.
Essentially.
Now, did they split you up?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I did that with a friend, and they split us up.
And you're taking the whole test in an area marked registration. So mm-hmm. You know that's your first sign.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, they're passing you off from person to person, and then they're telling you essentially what's wrong with you. They're trying to find your ruin. That's the hook in Scientology. Mm-hmm. You got to find that person's ruin.
Sure.
So based on a personality test, they're pitching a specific course. So Carrie was begging off of this, but I wasn't. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll take the course. Mm-hmm. And so we came away from that, and I was like, they don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. Like, we weren't sure. Like, do they have pictures of us behind the desk or something?
One would think, right?
You'd think,
right? I mean, they do have spooks in there. I mean, that is the thing that they do.
That's racist.
I'm giving them...
I'm going to do an old friend's joke right now. They run around wearing sheets at night and call other people spooks. Tom Hester. Why couldn't I get him? You know Tom?
Houston, right?
I love him.
Austin. Yeah, he's great. Fantastic.
My favorite fag in Houston.
So anyway, I ended up taking a bunch of classes. Spent, like 90 hours with them.
I thought you were going to say $90.
Yeah. And what did it cost?
If you put it all together, I ended up spending, I don't know, somewhere around $200. But the next class I was going to take, because they start you out cheap, and you know, you're buying the classes and the books. Oh, yeah, at least $200 just for the courses.
You
I
just
took.
Realized they got about $2,000 or $3,000
yeah.
out of you.
No,
you?
Yeah, okay.
You've
no.
got that look on your face. What the fuck have I done?
Your credit card number.
Yeah. You know, and I used my credit card and everything. I was giving them my real contact info, address, and all that, you know, just laying it out. But they didn't look me up until quite a while later. But I did spend probably closer to $300. And the next class I was going to take was the Purification Rundown. That's this detox program they have where you take a bunch of niacin, vitamin B1. And it causes, like, skin flushes. But they're like, that's your old toxins coming out and old radiation burns. It's a good thing.
What is it really happening?
It's just a
thing that really happens when you take
a flush response.
That.
Yeah, exactly. It would happen to anyone, whether or not you're, you know, under Scientology.
So someone who was completely clear, if Tom Cruise took those, that would happen to him, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly, which would give lie to the whole ruse. And then you sweat in a sauna for 5 hours. Anyways, I was getting ready to do that.
God.
And that would have been $2,500. And that was the next step up after these introductory classes.
Did you ask if they had a generic version?
You know, I... right? Yeah, I asked, like, and can we work on price at all, or can we work on timing? Because they want you there for 5 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, no on the price. And I guess maybe with the time. But wouldn't you say you're valued at work? And I was like, yes. And they were trying to use that as an argument, like, oh, well, if they value you at work, you can come here, like, at 7, and then you can come in afternoon. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm valued at work because I show up and I do my job.
Because I'm reliable.
I do my job, you know.
Right.
Anyways.
Tom Cruise, yeah.
I wonder if part of the process there is to actually try and wrench you away from that job? Is that?
Well, they want your money, so you got to keep working.
Yeah, but I mean... I guess. Right. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I spent so many hours there. Like, for example, the Dianetics course alone, it's a weekend course, and they say it's going to be, I don't know, 6-8 hours a day.
Oh my
but
God.
I ended up spending 22 hours at Scientology over a Saturday and a Sunday.
Wow.
2 days. I was there 22 hours. And I had to, like, literally run out of the building the second day. Like, sorry, guys, got to go. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, but we want to talk to you about your next steps.
Oh,
like,
they no. do hard sales. Yeah, I did it also.
Have you been in there?
Yeah.
Did you?
What?
A buddy of mine and I did the same thing. We went in there, and we went in there kind of as a joke, you know. At the time, neither of us were religious in the least bit, and we went in there just kind of like, hey, what the hell is Scientology all about? And we go in. First thing they do is separate us. So now you can't, like, you know, nudge your buddy and be like, oh, what a bunch of shit. Now you're by yourself, yeah. You know, and that's a big one.
Oh, they got it worked out.
Oh, yeah, and you watch all this stuff, and they were really good. They sat me down with this girl at a desk who's very charismatic.
Oh, they're good with the lovely ladies.
Yeah, yeah. And she was just like, you remember that feeling that you had when you woke up in the morning, on Saturday morning, and you didn't have to go to school, and you were just like, this is the weekend, and you've got all this time, you know, and you were 10 years old or whatever. Don't you wish you could feel like that all the time?
Yeah, everyone does.
And yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, oh, you're good. And also your commercial that you played said the same thing about Saturday morning.
It did.
Cartoons. But, it was just a sell, you know.
She's saying that, and she doesn't feel that way at all, because she's in the Sea Org, where they work you all day, every day. You get maybe, like, 5 hours to sleep and have to yourself, and then you're just back on it.
Wow.
And
so they're not experiencing the thing they're pitching.
Right. Oh, absolutely not. They don't get to take all the courses, because they don't have time to do it. I'm reading Chris Shelton's book right now. He was a 27-year veteran. He's, you know, reinforcing all of this. But one of the really lovely ladies that I talked to in the Sea Org, she told me she earns $47 a week. That's her wages in the Sea Org. And so they get you in there. You're dependent on them, and you've got no recourse, nothing else to do.
That's why they want you to quit your job, so that you will work for them.
Oh, right. I wonder how. Yeah,
labor.
Some of that.
No Saturday morning. They're all out there smoking like chimneys, which is ironic.
That's allowed.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Given
toxins?
Their whole. Like, I know exactly. Like, they're saying all this stuff about toxins, and they are all out there chain smoking. This is
good
a fun
old
thing.
R.G. Reynolds.
The fun thing is going to have to, and you're going to tell us about when they came in with the guns after the break, all right?
So yes.
Oh, this is getting good.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, stolen old guy voice. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option, and that's the Donate More If You'd Like button. Now, we've been saying this as long as we've been doing this particular show. Well, actually, 60 shows in, we started doing this. But we are about to switch our system. We are going to a Patreon system. We'll be releasing more information about that in upcoming episodes. So sit tight on that one. Sit tight on that. Yeah, sit tight on the $10. Hold on to it. And we're not pulling the plug on you, so don't worry about that. How do crazy people go through the forest?
How?
They take the psychopath.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. Back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Henry Phillips, Ross Blotcher, and Darren Butters. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Hey.
Woohoo. These guys from showbiz.
You guys got these stories we want to hear.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I interrupted you, and I know you have something else to say about your experience over there.
All right, Henry. So yeah, I'll sum it up because we spent a lot of time, and if you want to hear the whole 9-episode extravaganza.
Is it really 9 episodes?
Yeah, and we're going to do some more. Some more interviews. We've got Chris Shelton coming up. We're going to interview him and some other fun surprises. But anyways.
And before you go on, I'm going to say, I do believe Blythe listened. Did you listen to all 9?
Oh, yeah.
You're on.
Oh,
you're on.
Oh yeah. I listen to every episode of Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Yeah.
I get so excited because it's the only podcast I listen to that's not like at least every other week. So when those pop up, I'm always like, oh, yes, it's a new month. It's a new episode. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, she listens religiously.
It's the only thing you should do religiously. So, the story, I'll spoil it a little bit. Like, eventually, we find that David Miscavige even knows, like, who we are and essentially instructs them, get him out of the building now.
Shit.
When I, like, after they discover me, I hang around for a while and I try to, like, attend another little session to be like, I might as well ride this train as long as I can. And so order comes down. I know I heard someone come over and tap the guy on the shoulder who's leading my session, like, David Miscavige, call, you know, and he runs away and he's like, okay, we're getting you out of here now.
Wow.
That's flattering.
Wow. Anyway, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'll cut forward to, thank you. I'll cut forward to actually just a few weeks ago. Carrie had gotten me for my birthday a purification rundown, like little jersey and shorts. And
this is something they sell at Scientology?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, because if you sign up for that program for only $2,500, you get a tote bag in powder blue.
A tote bag?
Yeah, and this little workout outfit that
I'm
says
going.
It says purification on the back.
And do so, people still tote?
In Scientology.
All right.
All the rich.
All right.
Tote.
Tote.
Ah, nice. So, that's the only response to that question. Well done.
So she had found it online. Someone was reselling it. And it was a woman's cut, but, you know, fit me well enough. So I was
perfectly,
like,
I'm guessing.
Just cradled my ass. So we decided the only way to christen this is to just go down and do laps around the LA org. And so we went back to the blue building where we'd spent all our time. And, just started doing laps around there. And so you see everybody chain smoking, or they're, like, on their phones, like, trying to figure out, like, who's this guy and why is he wearing the purification rundown outfit. I'm seeing, like, another guy walk in with his purification rundown outfit. And eventually they figure out, oh, it's that Ross asshole. And so they send the bicycle security guard after me.
That's, yeah, wow. The whole place. This is over on Bronson and Franklin, is that right?
Yeah, that's the
Celebrity Center.
Oh, yeah, this is the big blue building that used to be a hospital.
Okay.
Sunset?
Yes.
Yeah. And Edgemont, maybe?
Yeah, right on Edgemont Sunset.
And they have these doe-eyed people riding around on bikes making sure everything's cool.
Right. That's, so he pulls up alongside me. Oh, why are you pretending to be on the purification rundown? I said, oh, I'm just here doing some jogging in my new outfit. And he says, well, I want you to know that you are not welcome on the premises. And I say, oh, I didn't have any plans on going into the premises, but thanks for letting me know. And I just keep running. So I did 5 laps around there.
Yes.
Wow. They're all taking pictures
they're
of
all shooting
and
me glares. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was carrying a GoPro, and Carrie got some footage. So I need to, I'm overdue. I'm going to publish this and put it up.
Soon. Did you go in with 5 as your goal?
No, I wanted to do 7. So
7 was your goal.
Like the wall of Jericho, it would come toppling
got
down.
Got it.
But after 5, I just had my fun.
You gave up at 5. You could have toppled the whole place.
I could have.
That's so sad.
At least so annoyed close. The hell out of them.
Do I need to go back? I can do seven now.
What happened in your story?
Oh, well, so yeah, I did a very similar thing, and it was supposed to be a goof with my buddy and I, and then we got separated, and then there was just this long, long day and meeting all these people that, you know. Later that night, I went to bed, and I remember getting nightmares, and it's like, wow, this was supposed to be all just a funny thing, but I think in my dream, I had this, like, vision. I was, like, freaking out because it's like, wait, they made me, because I did ask for coffee, I think, at some point, and they made me coffee, or maybe it was tea.
Oh, no, so you're thinking, what if they spiked it?
Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night going, holy shit. I just had that person make me a drink. What the fuck's in my body? You know, like that kind of thing.
Oh, man.
But I got to say, this is not only a funny Scientology story, but it might be one of the most perfect L.A. stories. Because I have this old roommate, Andrew, who's a New York guy and great guy. And he's a classic salesman. You know, like for years he's been like in the fashion industry, and he went to like France to sell fabrics to like fashion designers and stuff, and then he'd go buy materials from like Korea and stuff. But he's just a really good kind of an edgy, you know, he can sell anybody on anything. He's got that kind of New York, you know, sort of assertiveness about him and everything. Anyway, we were I had just kind of started in the comedy thing, and I used to do shows at this place, the Genghis Cohen. And and I had my flyer that said, you know, Friday night I'm going to be there, and you know, this town, you know, you're trying to get anybody. So we were actually standing out there. You know, he said he'd help me. You know, he didn't. He's just hanging out for fun. And so I'm hanging out, handing out flyers to everybody. And then we meet this one guy, and it was near the Scientology area. And this guy comes up to us, and he's like, "Hey guys, how are you doing? Hey, boy, this is kind of weird. I was just reading this book, and it's a fantastic book. You guys should check it out. It's called Dianetics." And then this is a long time ago, and I was just sort of like, is he really trying to pretend that he's just reading a book and he wants to share it with us, and it happens to be Scientology? And then I think he was even trying to get us down there. Like he was like, you know, Saturday we're going to have a bunch of these people that are going to be talking about this book, you know, at noon or whatever, and it's right here. I don't know, maybe you guys want to come down and, you know, hang out. And then this is so beautiful. My buddy Andrew goes, yeah, that sounds cool. Well, listen, my buddy here is doing a show at a place called the Genghis Cohen on Fairfax, and that's going to be Friday night at 9 p.m.
We know you're going.
Maybe you want to come to that. And this guy goes, you know, I might. Yeah, it sounds interesting. You know, I'll take the flyer. And but either way, you know, you should definitely come to this thing on Saturday at noon. And my buddy goes, well, you know, why don't we just see what happens on Friday night? And if you come to the thing on 9 p.m., then maybe that'll just increase the chances of us coming down to Saturday. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, but either way, whether I make it to the show or not, I still think that you should definitely do this. And then my buddy Andrew's like, look, why don't we just come out and say it? This is the way this is going to work. If you go to my buddy's show at 9 p.m., it's $7 cover charge. We're going to go to this thing. All right?
I like hearing an Italian voice.
Yeah.
His way is going to go down. Like,
yeah.
You come on my
friend's
show.
He's half Italian.
Yeah.
But what was so great about it is the guy did not show up. So it was more worth it for him to not go to a show in L.A.
Yeah.
than to save people's souls.
I'm actually surprised. Because yeah. they're dedicated.
He did not. He was like, fuck that $7 cover charge. But that's what makes it such a beautiful L.A.
He was scared away by Johnny Bagadix.
Yeah.
That guy freaked him out.
But it's just so great that here, you know, everybody's trying to self-promote from this guy's religion to us
you
putting
doing
out
a show.
Our show out there. But
at Genghis Cohen.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Oh, man, that was just so funny. I wish I... see, now that would have been fun to have a camera on that and just be put it on YouTube and just say, you know, Scientologist tries to convince New Yorker.
Dude, my camera comes out all the time.
Yeah.
I've captured probably 500 things that I've deleted because they weren't, at the end of the day, what I was hoping they would be.
That's great.
But I always try to capture moments of that ilk.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, I love... You got to bring the camera out.
I have rap star Lil Debbie
mm-hmm.
completely going off on some psycho homeless guy that threw a vitamin E pill at her in a Starbucks. At one point, I'm holding her by the waist saying, if you hit him, you become the bad guy. Stop it. Don't
That's
hit
right.
him.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing video I got.
Wow.
Yeah.
But speaking of homeless people, like, what's the Scientology's take on homeless people? Do they look at them as like, oh, these people are easy, we can get them involved? Or are they just like, you have no money, there's no
point? Oh, I think they want the rich.
Like if no, they, if the homeless guy walked in there, would they be like, all right, well, let's go ahead and get tested.
They'll turn him into a worker bee.
They'll take the poor. Yeah, exactly, for that reason. And really? So they'll get free labor out of it. I met a lot of people in Scientology who would come out of pass with drugs. Mm-hmm. And so and they have a whole program for that, Narcanon. So they'll bring you into that. Yeah, it's like this whole, like... detox, I guess.
Wow, but, that's so evil.
Yeah. Or they'll recruit them, clean them up, and bring them to one of their events to show that there are more people in the crowd.
It's like a trading places kind of thing. Yeah.
Henry, have you considered the possibility that you had those nightmares because of your thetans?
My thetans? Oh, is that a...
You might be heavily laden with evil thetans in your system.
Yeah,
I probably am. But you know,
what are your crimes?
Now I'm really interested, because what if I'm right next to the homeless guy while he's getting the test, and I'm like, well, that guy's got to have way more thetans than I do. I mean, this is bullshit, you know?
You're listening to Art and Atheist at ArtandAtheist.com and available on the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to a few of our listeners. Booger Bender, Perry Dilliolia, Sasha Luna, Trevor, Carl Barrett, Kyle Delaney, Kirk Cameron is a twink.
The next one's better.
Ray Comfort loves twinks.
That's a tag.
Polluted White Ocean. Burned out Polluted White Ocean. Sean Parker and Joe Swim. These were some of the people chatting on the wall last week. Thanks, everyone.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Henry Phillips, Ross Blotcher. I fucked up a name.
You fucked it up.
And Darren Butters.
Uh-huh.
Darren Butters. Thanks for being here, everybody. I love these Scientology stories. We have a whole list of things we were going to talk about, but boy, do I prefer this.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. Darren, did you have something about Scientology that you were going to...
No, not necessarily Scientology, but another cult, Mormonism.
We'll go to that after I tell you guys a quick story. I've told it on the show before, but I don't know if I've told you, Ross. I know a guy who's really, really high up in the production world here, right? Okay. I mean, super high up. Nutty. I can't say his name on the show. It would be wrong for me to do that. Suffice it to say that his name is...
Okay.
And he... I just lowered the audio, if you're listening.
Yeah.
So that I didn't say the name.
Shit.
You don't have to edit anything.
Household name.
So you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he, years ago, when he was first in this town... got pulled in just like you guys are talking about. He went in and checked it out. He actually went in and checked it out because someone handed him a Dianetics book, and he was interested in what they had to offer. So he actually joined up. I don't know how long.
Wow.
But he said he was out pretty quickly, relatively quickly.
Okay.
It wasn't years and years and years.
Okay.
But I think it was years. I think it was a year or two or three or maybe something in that neighborhood is the impression that he gave me. And that was a long time ago. We're talking 80s,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Totally
gone.
Different church back then.
Yeah. No contact, really. That he didn't say that there was contact, or she didn't say. You don't know. Could be a she. Didn't say there was contact up until this point, which was just a few years ago. He has a phone in his house that only his assistant or his personal secretary knows. It's the emergency. It's actually a red phone. It's actually a physical red phone for comedic purposes.
Yeah.
If there's a fucking emergency with the production, you call that phone. No one has it. His mom doesn't have it. I have all his numbers. I don't have it. I don't know the number to that line. It rang. He ran over, picked it up. What's wrong? And they said, hi. And they said his name. We'd like you to come back. And he said, I have no interest in that.
Yeah, great pitch. You'd be all creepy-like.
It was really creepy. And he goes, how did you get this number? And the person on the other end of the line said, we can get every number we want to get. You really should come back. And he just said, don't ever call me again. And he hung up the phone.
Man, wow, yeah, great. That sounds entirely consistent. They
changed the number too.
They called me at work once, and I never ever gave them my work number.
Yeah. Oh, right. What? They just got your number.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are NSA-esque. It's awful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you read Leah Remini's book?
No. Did she get out of it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good news.
The whole fallout started with the Tom Cruise wedding and watching how these people who were supposed to be clear and elevated.
Clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely above everybody else, almost godlike, sure, in that sense.
Right? Are having tantrums and
behaving in ways, yeah, that show that they aren't clear of thetans.
Yeah, mm. And yeah, she started to realize that this is not what it claims to be, and she kind of... there wasn't any argument or anything that convinced her to get out. It was more of her self-realization of... And she puts a lot of heart into the book. It's really... it's, yeah, really good.
Did they? Does she talk about them chasing her down after she left?
Yeah, yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I listened to the audiobook because she's got a great voice.
Because why fucking read anymore?
No. Because to hear her say, "Fuck you, get the fuck out of my house," you know, that in her voice.
Oh, that's masturbation, yeah, that... material. That's bank. That's bank.
Exactly.
If I can hear Leah Remini say "fuck you," I'm in.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good book.
Yeah, check it out. Do you know the title?
I don't.
Easy enough. Scientology, yeah, yeah, yeah. Leah Remini.
Yeah.
Go check out her book. I did not know this story. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, it's good.
Creepy stuff, these guys.
Because she, yeah, kind of grew up in it.
Yes.
And
I have a friend who grew up in it and is still in it.
Yeah.
I'm not super close to this friend, but yeah, it's weird. Does not talk about it at all. In fact, I knew this person for many years. Until finally, his ex partner told me about it.
Oh, okay.
And that's one of the reasons she left him. He was constantly hammering on her to get involved in this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're up against Mount Everest going into these new times.
Yeah.
Cynical.
Yeah. The internet, you know, yeah, spells, like, the destruction.
I feel
of it.
Like I think, religion, I think, in general, yeah, exactly, is up against. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, no. I mean, that even furthermore. Yeah, I think all of it is.
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah. It's harder and harder to take advantage of people with the information age.
If you took away, yeah, their tax exempt status, then they would immediately crumble.
I can't remember who told me.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, they don't want you to even see other religions, because as soon as you see that there's other religions out there, it's like, wait, so you're saying these are wrong and you're right? How do we know? I mean, what if I was born there and blah blah blah? But yeah, I mean, it was a lot easier to do back in the '80s, but it's going to be really difficult. Yeah.
What does it take to get? And it not just. I don't think we should. And by we, I mean the people or the government should take away just Scientology's. Tax exempt.
It's a great
status.
Place to start, though.
Well, I think it should be all. Every fucking one of them. It should all be gone. All of it.
Oh, sure.
They should all be treated like individual companies.
Businesses. Yeah.
Yeah, businesses. Mm-hmm. With the same perks that come with being a big business and all that, I suppose. I don't know. But
if they actively do charity, then they can organize that within a 501c3 structure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The way Trump doesn't.
But then they have to be accountable for,
well,
actually
using
their
returns. We've seen his tax returns. Oh, wait,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, you've seen his tax returns like you've seen his health report.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was a great health report. Thank
yeah. I think it would be really funny if he just released a piece of paper from his banker or his tax guy, whoever does his taxes,
yeah,
that says, Donald Trump has the most luxurious taxes in the world. He'd be the most taxed. That would be... I should write that tonight.
It's his bank letterhead, but it says, he is completely healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's the trick.
Everything, yeah.
His taxes are completely healthy.
People
he
like,
gives like no president who ever gave ever before ever in the history of humankind.
It's like, yeah, the Christian right is like, well, is he Christian? And he's the most Christian fucking guy you're ever going to fucking meet. Yeah,
I love when he gave a speech at Liberty University, you know, Jerry Falwell's outfit. And
shit, yeah, yeah. Shit pile.
Jerry Falwell's gone, and he says... 2 Corinthians when he's quoting like a Bible verse. He doesn't
not second.
Yeah, he didn't even have like someone coach him before him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got an evangelical, like, you know, tell me what you Christians say. You know, he just goes in there, yeah, in 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Well, I think
walk into a bar.
It seems to me that whoever is running his teleprompter could bring the man down.
Oh, yeah.
Because the guy's a moron. He's an abject idiot. So, and he is not processing what he's saying.
Then again,
would anybody care, though?
He says idiotic things, and that doesn't affect him negatively. So,
yes, it does.
So could you bring him down?
People keep saying that.
I think that, too.
And it's not true.
Okay.
It's not true.
I hope it's not true.
Well, it's not true. I mean, mm-hmm. when we rounded a corner, and I mean a significant one, when he went after the Khan family, the Gold Star family, right? Everyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
When he went after them, that... That put him that put him in the shitter. And he's been digging his way out of it ever since.
And yet, the polls are showing him still gaining.
If
you look at the 538.
I think, there's just a critical mass of people that didn't bother them. And a lot of people don't follow politics enough to even know about some of this stuff when it happens.
Right.
And if you watch Fox News, you will never see any coverage on that whole thing. You know, they just don't
talk
about
it. Is
that true? Yeah. No, they spend all their time talking about Clinton.
Isn't Fox News against him?
No.
Nope.
No.
No?
They love him, yeah.
I don't watch them anymore. I've watched before, but I don't watch them.
The argument that I hear a lot of my friends say, well, not a lot, but the ones who are supporting Trump is...
You have two friends.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Vote for Hillary? This is our guy.
No. The answer to that is not vote.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. If you don't have someone to vote for, you don't vote.
Right.
I mean, so...
And that's their thought is, this is the Republican candidate. What am I supposed to do? Vote for evil Hillary, who is that's their psychology. That's where they're coming.
Well, that's
from.
What this whole election is. That you never really hear people arguing like, no, my guy's better because of this. It's always yours is worse because of this. I mean, is this an inevitability because of? Like the two-party system and the media and everything, it's like it's all negative press on both sides. The question is, which one has accumulated more negative press? You know, and I don't
know.
It's pretty depressing.
So far, the guy who was leading in the polls before attacking the cons was getting more negative press.
Oh yeah.
So, at that point, prior to the con thing, you say he's gaining in the polls right now.
Yeah, well,
were you looking that up?
For example, 538 is, that's...
you can't trust that. That's an iPhone 6.
I've got my 7 on the way. But they do, like, the best calculations of kind of what the odds are. They, like, correctly...
Her health scare changed a lot. It.
But that was temporary.
Oh, is that your 7?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Let him touch it.
Oh, no. No one can touch it.
Give
me that. God damn it.
I'm going to lick it.
Yeah. Have you touched one yet?
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
Well, then you need.
I've got one coming. I'm waiting.
You need to touch the Taptic button. If you're listening to the show right now, sorry, you're fucked, because we're playing with the iPhone 7.
Whoa.
And Ross just enjoyed the. Ooh. Is it Taptic? Taptic.
Sorry, we're all touching your button now.
Yeah, everyone's touching my girlfriend's button.
I like that.
Darren, touch my girlfriend's button.
Well,
that's a solid state button.
It feels different than my button.
I think it should.
All right,
it should.
Do you want to touch of my button?
Get some action on that.
Push
Henry.
My button, babe.
So anyways, for a long time, they were really spread apart, and Hillary was way ahead. You know, he had like a 12% chance of winning the election, but now he's at like a 40% chance of winning the election, which is scary.
But there's one thing that I want to tell everybody. They'll show like 20 polls, and there's always this LA Times poll that is always showing Trump ahead. Like by a point or something. And I was like, why is this?
Right.
And so I researched it a little bit. By research, I mean I Googled it. And I found out that they use some study from USC or something that uses this sort of controversial method of asking people like who they would have voted for 4 years ago, for example, and they actually include that into their factor. What I'm saying is the LA Times one is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
It's complete just... horseshit, unscientific crap.
One of the things
that
the
only one that always shows him, and I don't know why they're doing that.
Yeah, how are you going to tell everybody? I mean, we got about 40,000
that you're listening.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well,
and if all of you tell 3 more people,
yeah, there you go.
And they tell more than you.
We will all eventually have.
Or we could just not even look at the polls and just vote.
Well, that's a good idea. One of the things that we don't talk about on the show, Skeptically Yours, we should cover this. I think. We should look for someone, Heather, who is an expert in the polling process, because...
Hey, I happen to be a poll inspector.
You are not.
I am.
Wait, that just sounds like some sort of a porn name.
Yeah. I run a polling location every election.
Now, Heather did it last year, or not last year.
Last election. I didn't
She worked
it.
The polls.
I worked the polls.
But she only did it so she could say to people, yeah, I've worked the polls in both senses.
And Wendy as well. She's a
She was
used
worker.
To. She's no longer.
Right.
So.
But all these polls that we read, a good skeptic in theory would go and see how that poll was questioned. In other words, what was asked, who was called, how were they chosen. But we don't do this. We just look at what the polls are.
Oh, you're talking about political
polls. That's what I'm talking
about.
I'm
sorry. I'm talking about like actual polls where people vote.
Cool.
I take it back.
Yeah, no, no. Polls, like what Henry was talking about. Yeah. These polls, you can get any results you want if you ask properly and if you call exactly the right people.
I just read a book called Uninformed, which is all about that. The guy was just tearing apart all the current polling methods and how you really can't learn anything from it. But I don't recommend it to anybody. It was the most boring book I've ever read.
Four out of people.
Fuck off.
God damn it. Darren knows where I was going. I flubbed that joke.
80% of all statistics are made up on this.
That's a good joke, too. Yeah, I owe you a joke, listeners. My apologies. That was, I don't know. Is it funnier to flub a joke once in a while?
Yeah. Joke deficit. Yeah. That's good.
All right. Okay, so you were pointing at Darren?
Oh, I was just going to say, I got to hear Darren's Mormon story.
Oh yeah.
Let's hear that.
Darren, are you ready to tell your Mormon story?
This is good.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, we'll do it after we come back for the premium portion. Fuck you. That's it for the free hour. This has been the free version of episode 197, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Henry Phillips, Ross Blotcher, and Darren Butters. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Blythe Renee. Tune in next time when our guests will be...
excellent.
And we'll be talking about...
deplorables.
We kind of were tonight, I guess. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Marshmallow Swain.
Where can people find Henry Phillips?
HenryPhillips.com.
That's easy enough.
Yeah.
Two L's or one?
Two L's, and I want to say I have a new special, an hour special on Vimeo, hour comedy special.
Fantastic.
Very happy with it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Where'd you tape
that? I said it in the beginning.
Where'd you tape it?
I taped it at the Lyric Theater on La Brea.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations. Thanks. I can't wait to see it. Where can people find you, Ross and Blotch?
MaximumFun.org and at Facebook.com/ONRAC.
Darren Butters, do you have somewhere?
At Darren Butters on Twitter.
All right. And where can people find Blythe Renee?
DorkPride.com.
Say that again. Say that again.
DorkPride.com.
Check out DorkPride.com. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.